Well, not all property investments are equal. Some are more equal than others, and certainly there are enough people that I know in the industry who say if you want to put money into property, go with warehousing, with logistics. You get natural economic growth, and as a consequence of that, these assets are prized. One of the biggest players in South Africa in this field is Equites. Today saw financial results from the company for the 6 months to end August, and the chief executive, Andrea Taverna Turisan, joins us now.
Good afternoon.
Nice to talk to you, Andrea. I'm sure results days are kind of sweeping you off your feet, but I'm going to just take you back a little for people who don't know your business. It's a 10 billion rand market cap business, 28 billion rand portfolio. Those are big numbers. Which of the warehouses that we drive past would we recognize as yours?
So if you were in Joburg and you drove along the R21, on the right-hand side, you'll see big Takealot warehouse. That's not ours, but just after it, if you're driving north towards Pretoria, is a massive DSV warehouse. That one would be ours. And if you were to drive off that area, at the back there, there's a massive TFG one and also a massive ShopRite one, or Checkers one. ShopRite Checkers. In Cape Town, if you were on the R300, you would notice the massive ShopRite domed roof on the R300 as some of the examples of warehousing that we do own.
What about KZN? I was there over the last few days, and my goodness, that area seems to be booming, certainly as far as warehousing developments are concerned.
Absolutely. The big problem with KZN is availability of land and the relative expense of holding on to land in the interim, pre-development and stuff. So what you'll find in KZN is that there are a couple of pretty substantial local landlords, and then one of our competitors in the REIT space also has a pretty substantial investment up by the harbour as well, which they've taken a while to get going, but they've almost finished it. But yeah, and then Investec Bank obviously control that Corobrick site, sort of just the other side of River Horse Valley, and obviously doing extremely well there too. But a difficult market to get into. We only own one substantial asset there. But apart from that, we own nothing in KZN.
It sounds like, and again, reading through the details of your interim report today, that you really need to be friends with the retailers, ShopRite, Spar, two names that you do mention in your report. Yep. Is this part of your secret of success?
No, I think you also need to be friendly with the third-party logistics companies, you know, the likes of the DHLs and the DSVs and the DB Schenkers and the Kuehne+Nagels. These are all massive names across the world. GXO in the UK. These are big organizations that really effectively are the future. They are the businesses that control the flow of goods. They warehouse on behalf of a lot of fast moving consumer groups. They are the go-betweens of a lot of the online purchasing that one would undertake. And then obviously, you know, on a more localized level, you've got the last mile delivery guys. So in the UK, we own DPDs and what we Everys and stuff, which are last mile delivery guys in South Africa, you know, the likes of RTT and the courier guy and those kind of guys, they're also all last mile delivery. So there is a range, but over and above that, then you've also got a substantial amount of businesses that you've probably never even heard of that are, you know, are business to business businesses. That would never sort of come up on the radar of the retail market, I suppose, but that have got substantial operations and are moving substantial quantity of goods.
And do you have turnover leases like the guys who rent to the retailers? So would you, all right, so you, it wouldn't directly affect your bottom line, but you would know if those warehouses are being better utilized,
fully utilized
or not. Is there economic growth going on? And I think that's really the question that we'd all like to hear from you.
And there is certainly is. I mean, even an organization, I mean, Geberit, which is a Swiss flushing system, toilet flushing system business. I mean, you know, they've been tenants of ours for many years, and you can see their warehouse is pumping. You know, we've got Premier FMCG as a tenant, and you can see that their business is doing extremely well. And really, it's about, and where we come into play, and I suppose we come into our own, is really assisting in a process of having had the good fortune of having seen many different types of businesses, operations, and the technologies that they use, and then affording that level of IP in the discussion of trying to identify the best way forward for clients. And we've had many success stories where we've moved clients out of buildings that just didn't work for them into buildings that really transform the business. And it's all about ultimately what warehouses, what a warehouse is about momentarily storing a good, but under no circumstance must the receipt of the good and the delivery of the good out of the building be hampered by an inability to get vehicles in and out of a situation. And ultimately, yeah, we've got many success stories. I mean, you look at some like ShopRite, like the Centurion, they need to see at least three trucks going out or in of that gate every minute. And if it fails to do so for 10 minutes, they're basically running behind. And when you run behind, it means that there's going to be a lack of goods on the shelf in the store. That's the level of sophistication that supply chain has got to.
It's extraordinary. We have been following very closely the impact on the economy after the Government of National Unity was formed. We do know that there's a better vibe. We do know that the foreigners are not investing just yet. But are you seeing at that hidden level that you were talking about a bit earlier, the business to business, an area that might not be showing up yet on Stats SA, are you seeing any improvement given the better confidence that one sees all around us?
We have never been busier than we are at the moment in South Africa. Now, whether that is a result of GNU or not, I can't definitively put my finger on it, because we started becoming extremely busy from about March this year. So even pre-election, we started noticing a big uptick. And I think, firstly, energy security occasioned the thought process of, is the building we're in, is it meeting our needs? No, it isn't. Should we invest a substantial amount of money to create energy security in the building we're in? Or should we just take the plunge and go into the 21st century and do everything in one place? So I think we've noticed that kind of momentum in our favor, which started out of the energy supply constraint. And then I think the other part of it is that what you're seeing is more and more organizations that seem to be shooting the lights out, especially on the retail front. It's interesting also to see Amazon having coming into the local market in terms of the shop. You know, you look at that, and you know, sort of the question I often get asked is, so are you excited about Amazon potentially taking up lots of space? I mean, I'm not saying I'm not excited about it, but Amazon are very good at what they do, and Amazon will have an ability to negotiate very hard with whoever becomes their landlord. And I'm not saying we will or anybody else will for that matter, but somebody will. But what Amazon bring to the party is open discourse that competition is going to hot up. And if we don't upgrade our operational efficiency, then we are going to be cleaned up by one of the greatest supply chain companies in the world. And that's what I find is going to be very interesting in the next sort of 24, 36 months, is how many organizations are going to grapple with that very idea and make the decision that they need to come into the 21st century by introducing the necessary technology to get their supply chain to a level of efficiency that makes them competitive in an open market. And that's what's exciting for Equitas.
Has the penny dropped that Amazon will change things given the way that it does business?
I think it would be facetious of me to assume what the discussions are at board level at some of the bigger and better organizations in South Africa. But if it hasn't, well, I'll leave the rest of that to you, Alec.
It was interesting talking to Harry Ferry from Capitec, and they're a partner of Amazon, and they've learned so much from Amazon. And he was also talking about AI, how much they've learned from Microsoft. So sometimes when you get this fresh blood coming into a society that hasn't had it for a long time, and you look at South Africa's isolation, it can only be a good thing. But from your perspective, from where Equitas is sitting, you do appear to be at quite a sweet spot for a country that's been through the mill and now appears to be finally lifting its head. Are you guys seeing that within the organization?
Absolutely. I mean, we are very excited, SA. As you know, we have a pretty substantial portion of our business in the UK. We've had to sell off our development platform in the UK because, I mean, for all intents and purposes, the return metrics out of that business just weren't stacking up with the change in dynamics of the interest rate and valuation metrics in that market. Consequently, you know, what we're seeing is that the allocation of capital to opportunities here are giving us far better return potential. And we're very excited about that because obviously within our market, we are certainly one of the market leaders and are highly respected. Within a UK market, we are, for all intents and purposes, small fry. And you know, it's hard to make a pound as opposed to making 23 rand, you know. So very exciting for us that SA is really rearing its head, and we hope to really be able to exploit all the opportunity that comes our way in a meaningful manner and create meaningful returns for our shareholders.
As far as interest rates are concerned, how does that have a direct impact on Equitas, on your business, given that we're now in a down cycle?
Yeah. So the first one, obviously, is whilst we are extremely hedged, because that's the nature of our internal policy framework, we're not totally hedged. So we have a sensitivity to interest rate cuts of approximately 36%. So what that translates into is for every 100 basis points cuts, we will only see 36 basis points benefit to our balance sheet. Now, for an organization that borrows approximately 10 billion rand, you know, 36 basis points over a year is 36 million rand. I mean, in terms of where we are, that's 4.5 cents on distribution, which is not too shabby. So that's the direct impact. The indirect impact, obviously, is that it potentially creates more liquidity into the open market, which then gets spent in the open market, which hopefully will drive this narrative that we are all listening to, that we potentially in 25 and 26 potentially could be getting 2 years of above 2.5% GDP growth. Now, if that were to happen, then obviously, you know, the opportunity that will flow down from that to an organization like Equitas, I think, would be pretty substantial.
So you're geared to the economy or to an improving economy?
There's no question it will help. And you know, ultimately, like you said in your opening statement, that we are in a sector that is potentially resilient, more so than any other sector in the real estate sort of world, to downturns and negative play, because there is a natural propensity for investment in supply chain to ensure that one can compete in a modern world of online, of business to business, of consumer to business, and so on and so forth. That we have that hedge, but obviously if we could get that hedge on steroids, that would be even better.
What about electricity? It's the other big story. The one is the governance of South Africa. Eskom is always uppermost in businesses' ideas and thoughts about the future. We've now had 200 days load shedding free. According to the chairman of Eskom at the BizNews conference, from March next year, they're expecting we won't have load shedding again. Let's hope that we don't have it until then as well. But how does it affect your business, given that you've had to presumably bring in renewables just to keep the wheel turning?
Absolutely. So you know, we, believe it or not, we started the process of sort of in the infancy of load shedding when it wasn't really an issue. And we did it on the basis of it being a renewable resource and the decision that as an organization that we took to be in the space where we could offer certain sustainability metrics to our tenants. We've got many tenants in our portfolio that have got pretty ambitious sustainability goals embedded in their corporate sort of essence, if you like, and we are there to facilitate that. The load shedding, what that did is it obviously fueled it and it took it to the next level. However, we are not stopping. I mean, we are continuing on every single one of our developments to effectively, as part of our specification, we offer renewable as a base specification in our warehouse, the consequence of which is that our tenants get to benefit from a discount to going tariff in whatever area that they're in. We give a certain discount, but we supplement that basically with energy that we generate. We do not provide batteries for our tenants, but we set the whole structure up that should the tenant wish to acquire batteries, that it really is a plug and play for them. And should they decide to do that, the level of saving that they can have, especially in a world where, you know, some of the increases that Eskom is asking for are eye-watering, should we say. So there's still definitely a massive market for us to continue to deliver on that promise. Over and above that, as more and more municipalities come in on the wheeling projects, our ability to generate substantial electricity inside the urban edge. We currently have about 1.4 million square meters of roof space, which means that we don't become hostage to transmission lines coming from the Kalahari Desert, as an example. So we're quite excited about that part of the business. And then from a sustainability point of view, we're taking it one step further. I mean, we spoke about it this morning in the results presentation, where we're starting to basically look to install grey and black water treatment plants in our parks, where we can potentially recycle as much as 70% of the water that's being used to be reused either in the flushing systems or irrigation or in some of the truck wash bays and stuff. So it's an important component, there's no question.
Of that 1.4 million square meters of roof space, I presume, how much of it is currently taken up by solar panels?
Off the top of my head, I would say less than 30%.
So there's a big, big opportunity there still, because you'd think, here's South Africa, you've got sunshine, you've got these warehouses with these huge, big roofs, and solar panels are falling in price, and you start wheeling, you might actually have a profit line one day of selling back electricity.
Well, we already do have a profit line there. We already do. We sort of talk quite extensively in the results presentation about the alternative source of income, and we see that as a meaningful alternative source of income, and the return metrics on it are very good. So very exciting.
Your dividend or your yield at the moment is just over 9%. Have you disclosed anything about that for the full year for the next six months?
We've given guidance of sort of between 130 and 135, which we gave with our year-end results in May from last year. What we've updated that guidance this morning, basically saying that we will certainly be at the top end of that guidance. So the anticipation is that we will be obviously very close to that top end of the 135. As I said, excited about where we're at. We've brought online almost 350,000 square meters of ShopRite buildings, and this year they'll be bedded into the base, and then we have income from all those properties for the next 20 years, escalating at 5%. So they become a real fantastic underpin to the portfolio. And then we continue to do really, really good business. As I said, this morning's presentation, we completed our first deal with a spa group with a business unit of theirs called Encore earlier in the year, which is going really well for them as well. The engagement has facilitated a relationship there, and hopefully we can do more with them. And then there's many, many other businesses. I mean, there's a business called Cargo Compass that we've done a big 30,000 square meter warehouse for them, take them into the 21st century. Over and above that, then we built a hazard store for them. So They have a fully compliant, 100% compliant hazard store for their clients. And, you know, like them, you know, we have an incredible array of businesses in a, you know, we have a business that imports fragrances. We have a businesses that does fake teeth effectively. They have a little assembly line, but they've got, you go in there and you've got all these teeth in different shades of color and stuff. So it gets distributed all over the country. So it's a fascinating business to be in our business because we get to see so many remarkable businesses. Obviously, a 90,000 square meter Shoprite DC is always going to catch the headline, but this, it's amazing how many other businesses there are out there.
Final question, Pick n Pay. Are they starting to make a comeback?
Yeah, it'll be tough. I must say that, yeah, I mean, the investments that Shoprite have made into their business, the supply chain that they have in place, the small part of their future plans that we've been privy to, they're a very impressive organization, extremely well run, very forward thinking, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be very tough for them. It's a lot of money needs to be invested to catch up there. That's the only thing I can say.
Andrea Taverna-Teresan is the Chief Executive of Equitas Property Fund, and I'm Alec Hogg from biznews.com.